Hi everyone, this is Paloma with Blended Bruja, Witchcraft and Shit. This is a place where we can sit down and explore witchcraft, spirituality, the occult, healing, race, gender, sexuality, and queerness. I hope you guys enjoy this episode. Hi everyone, welcome to today's episode. So today, what I wanted to talk about is Dia de Muertos. It is currently for me October 12th. But we are getting close to the really good holidays at this time of year that's usually significantly tied to death or the dead or spirits or something like that. So we have Samhain coming up, we have Halloween coming up, and we have Dia de Muertos coming up. And then there's also some other holidays like the Catholic holidays, All Saints Day, All Souls Day, all of that good stuff. So I wanted to talk about this episode just because there, although a lot of people seem to like kind of get the gist, like the basic gist of it, there is a little bit of sort of cultural head scratches sorts of thing. Like, so for example, in America, people think that it is the Mexican equivalent of Halloween, which isn't true. And then also you'll have people who during Halloween, they'll dress up as like sugar skull makeup, all that sort of stuff, which is, again, like probably not the best thing to do. I remember, what was it, when I was like in 7th grade, it was really popular at this time. I don't know why, but I remember like everybody was doing sugar skull makeup for Halloween and all of that. So that's not really like the best thing to do. And then also people will say it's Dia de los Muertos. Like, that's how people in America, I don't know about the rest of the world, but a lot of people here in America will know it as Dia de los Muertos. And that's kind of like the rough translation, but the more, from what I have been taught, Dia de Muertos is the more grammatically correct version of it. So I just wanted to talk about it today. I don't think, like, I'm not blaming anybody. I'm not mad at anybody. I mean, come on, like, we've all done yikes moments. But I thought that this episode would be a good opportunity where we can all kind of learn and explore this really cool cultural history, because, like, people, I don't think people really understand that Dia de Muertos is way more in-depth and layered than just a holiday for the dead. It goes way back to sort of indigenous Azteca practices that have been kind of watered down, partially due to Catholicism, but even now that a lot of people are stepping away from Catholicism, it's gotten even more watered down. So there's a little bit of like misconceptions here and there. And so this just, I thought, based on all the information I know and some other things that I've looked up, I thought this would be a good episode where we can just kind of learn some stuff, you know? So before we get started, deep dive into everything, I just wanted to say that I am doing a tarot reading sale. So usually my tarot readings cost anywhere from $45 to $75. However, because we are getting so close to these holidays, I thought that, you know, often this time of the year, across the board, well, in most cultures, this time of the year, fall, is associated with harvesting and harvest and that sort of hard labor. And I do think that this time of the year tends to be hard for us. We do have to put in the work. And so I'm giving this sort of option that the people from all sorts of backgrounds can have an opportunity to maybe gain some guidance or insight for situations that they're in, or just really any questions that you have. Obviously not any questions that are incriminating, because unfortunately I can't just have information like that. But for people who just, yeah, all sorts of backgrounds who just want to gain some insight, because I know that I've been there before where you are like dead broke. And of course you want to gain some insight and you feel quite lost, or you feel like you're going through a really difficult time, but you don't have the sort of money to be dropping all this money. And I get, like, if there's a will, there's a way, totally get that. But also I just wanted this to be like, simplistically, an opportunity for people to just be able to get a reading and not have to worry about dropping all this money, you know? So that's what I'm doing. So for one card, it is $5, which is a great price. And then for three cards, it's $13. So, and if you want any more cards, like more than three cards or whatever, we can talk about it and go over some like pricing. That would be best. And then the sorts of questions that I'm open to doing. So you can come in having a specific question, totally down for that. We can also do general cards. Like let's say you just want to know generally, what do you need to know about like your job or for a specific relationship or maybe just relationships in general or finances, all that sort of stuff. So we can pull a card for that. And then also if you get multiple cards, we can do something like a question for each card, or we can just do one question, pull multiple cards. So there's many different ways to mix and match. I'm totally flexible, all that sort of stuff. So if you have any questions or you want to do it or anything, just hit me up on my Instagram and I'll be happy to answer questions or do a reading for you. So yeah, I'm so excited. And with that said, let's get started. So, Day of the Dead. It is a holiday that's usually celebrated from October 31st to November 2nd, and each day has its own sort of association. So, from what I understand, October 31st is the day for the children. And what I mean by children is it's a day to sort of commemorate the children or infants that have passed that didn't really get to live an adult life and have passed. So this is the day for their spirits and souls. Then you have November 1st, which is for all spirits. Then you have November 1st, which is for the adult spirits. And those are the people, like I'm sure you can guess, are the people who died in adulthood. And then November 2nd is for like all the spirits, all the souls, all of them from any age, all of that. So that's kind of how it starts. And one of the things that I think is really cool is that, you know, So colonization has had a huge effect on many cultures across the world, and especially colonization that implemented Christianity, which is most of the history of colonization. And so with most cultures, you will have holidays that are, you know, surrounded around death. Like, for example, Samhain is often associated with the harvest and also with the dead and all that good stuff. But they kind of made, I think the history of Samhain, if I'm remembering correctly, and if I'm not, definitely let me know. But Samhain, the Catholic Church didn't like that the pagans were celebrating Samhain. So what they did is they got like All Saints Day and All Souls Day to go on top of it so that they could implement, you know, step away from pagan traditions and more into Catholic traditions. But they made it on the same day so that they could all do their, so it wouldn't be too much of an uproar. But then it sort of evolved where it just became a commemoration of All Saints Day and like, you know, celebrating the saints and then just celebrating like spirits and all that. But it didn't really have this heavy emphasis around death. And I think colonization really had a big impact on that. And it sort of has gotten forgotten. And the same thing with Halloween. So Halloween has now become this super, it's this huge industry where people just dress up and have fun and party. And it's now known as something that's a time of the year where we can just party and let it all hang out and kind of let our freak fly, you know? But the interesting thing about like with Day of the Dead and how Catholicism theoretically should have sort of made it so the people stepped away from that tradition of celebrating the dead so intensely, because Mexican culture is very much about the death cycle. It really emphasizes that sort of life and death cycles that we all have. And some other cultures have stepped away from that. And especially since Catholicism tends to demonize or frown upon the death cycle and I forget which book that I was reading, but part of the reason, if I can find the resource, I'll definitely let you know. But part of the reason why Catholicism looks so down upon death is because when Jesus died on the cross, that was supposed to be his, like, oh my God, no. But then when he came back, that's when he overcame death. And so death became this sort of thing that was frowned upon or looked down upon and didn't really hold the sort of respect that it did. Or, yeah, at one point did. And it became this hyper central focus on life and the life cycle, and it completely forgot about the death cycle. Well, Mexican culture is heavily, heavily, heavily rooted in the death cycles. That was something that is very important. And I think many indigenous cultures across the world do, and at one point when they were still a part indigenous, they really accepted death, and death was like a huge aspect of indigenous cultures across the world. But with Mexican culture, it was like it was something that was not going to change no matter what, because death is so important. And now you have Dia de Muertos, you have all these gods, these like Aztec gods that are around death. We even had human sacrifice, all that sort of stuff. So death was important. You have Santa Muerte, all these different things. Death is very important. And so there's this misconception that with Dia de Muertos, when the Catholic Church came, they tried to make them celebrate All Souls Day too, same way, similar to what they tried to do with the Europeans and the pagans over there. There's this misconception that the Catholic Church changed the day or something, like changed Day of the Dead to All Souls Day and All Saints Day just to cover it up. And I have this article right here that talks about it. Let's see. So, and this article is by Curly. He's great, and I'll leave the article down below. My maestra sent this to us through email today, and I thought it was a really good article. So I'll read it briefly for you. So the Mexican tradition known as Dia de Muertos, Day of the Dead, has slowly spread from indigenous communities in southern Mexico into the mainstream U.S. consciousness. In the days leading up to November 1st, popular media and businesses are flooded with images of calaveras, sugar skulls, marigolds, and the beautifully decorated altars. And if the recent success of the animated film Coco is any indication, Day of the Dead is going to firmly remain a part of the cultural landscape in the United States. So today these celebrations have been blended with Catholic traditions, and take place on All Saints Day and All Souls Day. So many think that the original indigenous holidays, which it's in Nahuatl, which is an indigenous Mexican language, it's in Nahuatl, and I can't pronounce it right, but it's Mick Wheat and Way Mikael Wheat, I believe is what it's called. So these are two indigenous holidays that translates to Feast of the Dead and then Great Feast of the Dead. And so many think that these indigenous holidays were absorbed into All Saints Day and All Souls Day under the direction of the Catholic Church, as these Krishna holidays also involve honoring the dead. Unfortunately, this popular claim is often repeated without any evidence to back it up. For example, a column about Dia de Muertos published on this website, which it says here, in an attempt to convert the natives to Catholicism, the Spanish colonizers moved the celebration to November 1st and 2nd, when we celebrate it currently. But in fact, it was the exact opposite. And so it what ends up happening is each year, so here it is. The writings of Diego Duran reveal that these Mesoamerican feasts were not moved under the direction of the Catholic priests, but were hidden within the feasts themselves by the indigenous peoples. So this subversive act of resistance was intended to fool the Catholic priests into thinking that the Mesoamericans had indeed submitted to Christianity. So basically what this article is saying is that this misconception that the Catholic Church sort of like moved the holiday and then absorbed these practices, blah, blah, blah. No. What really happened is that the indigenous people were fooling the Catholic Church by basically saying like, oh yeah, like, we're Christian here, like, totally with you, buddy. We're right there with you. But then we're secretly holding their practices, but just with, like, with different guises. And, like, it's almost kind of spooky of how quickly they sort of picked it up without any sort of complaints. And I think that's really clever. And in fact, to sort of back this up, there's this amazing person on Instagram that I follow, and I'll leave their link in the description. But they talked about Dia de Muertos, of how one of the big things is that, you know, the Christian cross came when Catholicism was forced. But our indigenous ancestors of Mexico already had the medicine wheel, and the sort of cross, the equal part cross, was something that was it was used all the time. It's a way of honoring the four directions. It's the medicine wheel. It says crossroads, all these different things, very important. And so during the Dia de Muertos, they knew what was up. And so they would wear these crosses, making the priests think like, oh yes, we're Christians. But in reality, they were honoring the four directions, these elemental energies, everything. So it was really cool. And they were very clever. And you can even see that in the bread, what is it like? Muertos pan, something like that. Let me see the official name, but it's basically like this bread that's in the shape of a cross, that has like a cross shape on the bread, that often people will put on like the ofrendas and all that sort of stuff during Day of the Dead. So let me just make sure. Yeah, pan de muerto, so bread of the dead. Yeah, so they would have these sorts of, like, they do have these sorts of breads and stuff that has crosses on it, but it's not really paying attention to Christianity. It's actually honoring indigenous culture. So Day of the Dead is already so much deeper than we really are paying attention to. And there's many different ways. So one of the things is that you see in, like, if you ever saw Coco or whatever, there's these flowers that they bring, and it's the marigolds. And oftentimes the marigolds what's used to guide the dead back to the houses, or to basically be some sort of like signal to the dead. And you can also use that with candles. You see this actually in pagan European, like pagan, what is it? Irish? Somewhere in like the UK area, but that they did sort of a similar thing, is that they would guide their dead with candles. And I think if you saw a candle in the evening, like a floating candle, and I think it's called a corpse candle, that meant that the dead was among you. And it's kind of like a similar idea with Day of the Dead. So you use the candles to guide them, or the flowers, and it's these bright orange colors. And one thing that my maestra said too is that, like in curanderismo, the dead only really see red. That is the color that they can see the best. It's very bright, they can see it. And so with these different shades of like red, marigolds that are orange, yellow, all of that, it's a way to guide them. And that totally makes sense. And so you guide them to your house, and you have these ofrendas. And so these ofrendas will have these different layers to them, these different levels, and they honor each thing. So you'll have pictures of your loved ones, you'll have food, that's where you'll have the flowers, that's where you'll have the sugar skulls, and when you're honoring the day of like the children, you'll have toys on there as well so that they can kind of play with in the afterlife. So it's super interesting, and a lot of people think that there is some sort of school of thought that Day of the Dead does celebrate one of the gods. Let's see. It's in Nahuatl, and so I'm really bad at it, but Mictlantecuhtli, which translates to Lady of the Dead. And she is like the sort of goddess that rules like the underworld and the afterlife and all that sort of stuff. But like another interesting thing about Mexican culture, indigenous Mexican culture before Catholicism, is that there's many different heavens and underworlds. So I believe that there's like 13 levels of heaven, and each god kind of rules of each heaven and all that sort of stuff. And then 9 layers of the underworld. So very, very interesting. And so I hope this makes sense of why the celebration of death is so key, and it's makes sense of what's like most notable and popularized in Mexican culture is the death aspect. It's so important. I think that even when you see these bright colors all throughout Mexico, I think it's that sort of acknowledge of life, because when you acknowledge and celebrate death and honor death, you can also honor and celebrate life. And so I think that explains why there's such bright colors, because it's that full recognition and understanding of life and death cycles, that sort of duality aspect that we live in. So it's really beautiful. But I'm going to take a quick commercial break, and then we will be right back. Okay, we are back. So I also have this wonderful book with me, and I highly recommend that you guys get, especially if you are into art, printmaking, or curious about Mexican art styles. But it's called The Day of the Dead, a pictorial archive of Dia de los Muertos. So it's very interesting, and it has all these pictures. There was this Mexican artist, what was his name? Yeah, Jose Posada, who really popularized the calaveras, the Catrinas, which is like the sort of staple. It's the dressed up skeletons that you see. He started that art style. But then it became so popular because then that art style was used as political statements about Mexico. So really interesting. Highly recommend you get this book. But anyways, one of the things that he talks about is that Day of the Dead is celebrated differently throughout the regions in Mexico. And northern Mexico doesn't really celebrate it, or at least it didn't for a long time. It was mostly central and southern Mexico that celebrated it. But northern Mexico didn't. And I think my personal theory is that Mexico, before it was Mexico and there was that border between it and the United States, all the indigenous tribes of America, what we know as America, would trade and travel with each other all the time. And oftentimes they were like a part of the same tribes and all that sort of stuff. So, and in Native American culture, like especially Pueblo Native American culture, they celebrate their dead differently. So yeah, they have different sorts of traditions, which totally makes sense. And so like, for example, one of the tribes that splits between the border is the Yaqui tribe. They split between Mexico and Arizona. And then there's even some in Texas as well, but that's like a whole different story. So I think that's kind of why northern Mexico didn't celebrate it the same way, and it was mostly central and southern Mexico. And that totally makes sense, because that's also where more of like the Azteca culture is from as well. So definitely makes sense. But here's a little excerpt from the book that says, November 1st is the day when the children return. November 2nd is the day for the returning adults. Both of these days are celebrated in the home and at the cemetery. Food and drink are usually brought to the graves as other offerings. Candles are lit, and sometimes there are small bonfires for warmth and light. Strolling musicians play their favorite songs of the devoted. All-night vigils are kept in the cemeteries. Women pray and gossip. Men keep watch, drink, and gossip. Children play with the new toys they bought. The families bought for them during this holiday. In Mexico City and other urban areas of Mexico, the celebration is not as devout and solemn. Much of the region's sense is absent from the celebration, and the celebration is festive, often more defiant towards death. It is more a day for remembrance of the dead than an actual communication with them. The attitude is generally more aesthetic, artistic, and intellectual than religious. There are altars in restaurants, museums, and community centers, often built by professional and recognized artists. Skulls and skeletons, which are seldom seen in rural or indigenous communities, abound in the cities. Spanish dictionaries define the word calavera simply as skull. Exactly when and how in Mexico the word extended to mean an entire skeleton is not known, but by the late 19th century, the word was used in general as a reference to the depiction of skeletons by artists such as Manuel Manila or Mania, and Jose Posada and others. Calaveras also refers to the poems written for the Day of the Dead broadsheets, which generally had a humorous or satirical point of view in criticism of current customs or politics. So, I know I keep saying it's very interesting, but it really is. And I think it kind of shows that, especially right now in this political climate, I have grown up hearing people talk so much shit about Mexicans and Mexican cultures, not knowing that I am Mexican because I am white passing. I am white. So people not really knowing and them confessing these things to me. And I think in American culture right now, the one to blame, the bad guy, the evil person, is Mexicans, along with Black people. But Mexicans, in this sense, we're told that we're not tasteful, that we have no culture, that we're just dirty people and just poor. And especially with Trump right now, we're all being told that Mexicans are the ones who are creating crime in this country. But even just looking at the sort of history, this very brief history that I've just discussed lightly now, it shows how intentful and thoughtful Mexican culture is. And so I think, not to bring it into the sort of political sense, but it is all political. I think that American culture is demonizing people. They're creating criminals out of thin air from Mexicans. And yeah, you can say like drug cartels, blah, blah, blah. But also, if you really want to get into it, it's like the American government introduced drugs to the American people and introduced AIDS to the gay population. So, you know, I think it's that sort of look at where you're pointing, point in the mirror first before you point at anybody else. But yeah, Mexican culture is very colorful and it's very thriving. And it's so cool that they held on so deeply and they were so clever about holding on to the celebration of the dead. And I know that that's something that's very important in my spiritual practices. But even now, you see witches, oftentimes when you look at Wiccan witches or the people who like, total eye roll, the people who identify as white witches, or the people who are more so European pagan witches, they oftentimes, one of the big things that you notice that they struggle with in the potency of their magic is that they totally forget to acknowledge and thank and nourish the spirits around them, whether it's the spirits of the dead or the sort of celestial spirits and beings, whatever that may be, they tend to forget that. And so you can see it of the potency of their magic doesn't seem as strong, and oftentimes it's rooted in ceremonial magic, which is more so demanding of the spirits rather than collaborating with them or working with them in a very loving way. And so, yeah, you can kind of see it in their magical practice. But again, Mexican culture is very superstitious. It's very mystical. It's very spiritual. It really is. When like, for example, you don't really see Europeans saying that they don't tie in religion or spirituality so as close as like Mexican culture does, or even indigenous cultures around the world do. Like, you know, African Americans, especially now that a lot of African Americans are picking up things like voodoo and hoodoo again, it's like you can really see the beauty of them connecting with their lifestyle, like the sort of original beliefs, which valued spirit and life and energy and everything. And it's the same thing with the Mexican culture, and it's the same thing with Native American culture. But people have had to fight for this. Like, Mexicans wanted to, they held tight onto this. And it's crazy that it's still thriving, and it's even thriving now. It's just wild. So, again, super crazy, super interesting. And I think one of the last things that I wanted to talk about is the actual ofrendas themselves. So I talked about how you have many different things on the ofrenda, the sort of offering space. And I said that there's usually different, like, it's kind of set up like a bookshelf almost, and there's different levels of it. And so I have this little Pinterest infographic just to kind of get a little gist of how it's celebrated. So usually there are different levels. And so it says ofrendas can be made up of two, three, or seven levels. Two levels represents the division between earth and sky. Three levels represents the sky, the earth, and the underworld. Seven levels are the most common and relate to the seven levels that a soul must traverse before reaching heaven or hell. It also relates to the seven deadly sins. Now, that's super interesting. And one of the other things too is, like in Mexican culture, it's said that it takes a spirit, like a soul, like someone who died, it takes them about 4 years to get to their sort of destination in the afterlife, whether it's heaven or the underworld. So it takes them about 4 years to do their journey. And so oftentimes you won't like try to like contact them or like you won't try to do anything with them because they're working on their journey. So oftentimes you got to leave them alone for a couple years. But yeah, it's super interesting. And it's just like, again, it was kind of what I was talking about with the last episode with La Llorona and Alebrijes, is that knowing that these things exist and seeing the sort of creativity in this culture, but you can really look at it in many different cultures, but looking at the sort of creativity shows you that the universe and our sort of experience of it is not even close to what it could be. And so that sort of potential is crazy to think about, and it's really exciting in my mind. But anyways, so so the first and the second level, which it goes from top to bottom. So I'm talking from the first, and the first level you'll have like a skull or something like that. Second level, you'll have a fire element thing being represented. So it's usually a candle, or some sort of light. And then you have paper. So it says ofrendas usually have tissue paper, typically in yellow and purple, made into intricate designs. They are a representation of the union between life and death. And then you have incense. And yeah, usually it's with copal, which is very sacred in Mexico. And that's one thing that, like, it can be kind of frustrating people to see people buy, because it's there's a worry about over-harvesting. And that's one thing that I think is really important for people to know, is that there's a difference between like sacred, you know, smoke cleansing and like smoke, like actual smoke cleansing. So like smudging versus smoke cleansing, very different. And so these sorts of things that we use, like copal, sage, and palo santo, is being over harvested because oftentimes people who are outsiders from these cultures get really excited. It becomes the new trend thing to use, and then people end up over harvesting it. And it's not being ethically sourced, and so it can endanger, like it happened to sandalwood. And I don't know if it's still happening to sandalwood, but yeah, it's happening to sage too. So definitely, if you're not from this culture, I would definitely be a little bit wary about it. And if you're going to use any sort of incense, I definitely wouldn't recommend using copal. It's very, very sacred. And yeah, I won't even go there, but like, yeah, it's very sacred. And then usually you have flowers on the ofrenda as well. So yellow flowers, which is like usually the marigold. They're a guide for the spirits into the mortal world. The white flowers represent the sky. Purple flowers are the traditional color of mourning in Mexico. And then you'll have water and salt. And water, it doesn't matter who you are, but I personally really think that water on any altar is very, very important. Think about it as like when you're a spirit and you need to be nourished, like think about how much you and I need water, and think about how much water the spirits haven't been getting. And so I just imagine them always being like so like dying of thirst. So I think water is always a great thing to offer any sort of like spirit that you're trying to work with. And then salt, it's purifying, it's protective, all that sort of stuff. It helps the spirits purify and protect. And then you have food, all that sort of stuff. And usually food that they really like, but it can be things like tamales, mole, oranges, all these different things that pan de muerto. And then you have calaveras, which they represent the dead because they're in the shape of a skull, which is really great. And then you have that white cross, and that was what we were talking about, that sort of Catholics think it's about God, or the original Catholics did, but it's really about that sort of honoring the four directions, the four elements, that sacred four number, which is a very stable number. And four usually tends to be associated with, in numerology, things like stability, family, ancestors, all that. So that's kind of like a basic guide to what an ofrenda looks like. And they're very intricate. If you go to like Mexico ever and you look at them, any sort of ofrendas or really any altars, usually they are super decked out. Like the Santa Muerte altars are usually crazy decked out. Same thing with the Virgin Mary, Jesus, all of that. Super decked out. And I think it's because that sacred spirituality aspect of it. But as far as I know, I don't think it's just Mexico that does the sort of celebration as well. I think that there's other cultures that do it, but I think Mexico is one of the more popular, well-known ones. And I think it's because of Mexican artists like Posada who helped make it popular. So that's kind of like my basic stuff about Dia de Muertos. I hope you guys learned something new. I think it's very interesting. I keep saying it's very interesting, but it's so true. I think it is. So you're just going to have to deal with me saying that it's very interesting, but I think it is. And I think like, you know, every culture has something that's so unique about it. It really does. But this is just something that I think is like, wow, they like held on with the firm grip. They were not going to let death go. And I think that's something that is so beautiful, because now if you look at especially Western culture and especially American culture, we all have this huge fear of death. I mean, half of the things that are being sold on the market are things to avoid death. And not to say that you should be trying to die, obviously, but I think that there's this sort of huge fear of death and aging. You know, there's a huge market around aging as well. Huge. All these different products constantly to make your face better, look slimmer, to look like how you were when you were young. And I feel it too. Like, I think I would be lying to say that I don't often get a little, I wonder about death. I don't really worry about death, to be honest with you. What I worry more about is aging, and I think it's because our culture is so, it is definitely conditioned us to fear and to even hate those sorts of things. You even have people who like conspiracy. Our whole major conspiracy things that people talk about constantly in America are all things around people doing child sacrifice to remain young. You have the whole Fountain of Youth thing. Like, that's how much people really obsess over youth and aging and death in this society. Like, literally all of our freaking like popular conspiracy theories are around death and all of that and the afterlife and heaven. And I think it's just because people are scared of it. So you have people constantly fighting about it. Isn't that interesting? But anyways, I hope you enjoyed this episode. Hopefully you learned something new, and maybe you guys know something more that I don't. I mean, again, like, this is, I feel like I just barely scratched the surface. The roots go way deeper, and I definitely feel like I didn't even, like, I barely scratched the surface. So if you guys know some more about Dia de Muertos, or if you guys celebrate something similar in your cultures, or if there's anything else sort of around this topic of honoring the dead, I would love to hear what you guys have to say. But yeah, again, if you guys want to check me out on Instagram, I'm at Paloma_Micaela. I hope you guys have a good rest of your day or evening, and I hope you guys take me up on that tarot reading sale. All right, have a good rest of your day or evening.